This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Hey, good morning, everyone. Alan Ellis here. We're back with the second hour of the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. And this hour, we're going to talk about fishing, in particular, largemouth bass fishing, tidal bass fishing, with Dr. Joe Love, the tidal bass manager for the Maryland Department of Natural Resources Inland Fisheries Service. Good morning, Joe.
Morning, Alan. Happy Father's Day.
Same to you, buddy. Thanks. How you doing?
Thanks.
I just had to ask, and let's get this out of the way right away.
Sure.
When you introduce yourself, particularly to the ladies, do you say, "Hi, I'm Dr. Love"?
Well, I don't know if I do it with such a great voice.
Oh.
Sometimes it depends on the lady, I suppose.
I mean, it's got to be. You got the greatest name, man.
Yeah, well, to my mom, I'm still Joey.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Gotcha. Oh, Joey, don't be so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Hey, we're going to talk about bass fishing, and particularly tidal bass fishing. And, of course, you know, the Potomac River is world-renowned now for its black bass fishery, as well as other things like blue catfish and snakeheads. But we're going to talk about primarily the Potomac and some of the other tidal rivers and the largemouth bass fishing in Maryland, which is phenomenal. And
right.
Let me hearken back to the mid-60s when I went on a junior high school tour of Washington, D.C., when they actually allowed you to tour Washington. We took a boat ride up the Potomac. It was awful. Awful. And I don't know if you go back quite that far or not, Joe, but I mean, dead carp, garbage, trash, a horrible odor. And in the decades since, we've come a long, long way and turned that into a world-class fishery in our nation's capital.
I've definitely heard the stories. I'm
an eyewitness.
So.
I'm an eyewitness.
Yeah.
Seriously. Yeah.
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 It's hard to imagine how things get that bad, right?
Exactly.
And they have to get that bad before hard decisions are made to change things. And I imagine that those hard decisions were made. I understand that Blue Plains began changing the way they were doing business. And then we've got some grasses coming back. We had a hurricane.
Yep.
And now the fishery is doing okay. It's
yep.
Doing a lot better than it was.
Sure.
I think back when you were speaking.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm an old guy, so you know there. You know, I remember that kind of stuff. That was one of the few things I remember from that trip.
Well, it's unfortunately not that great of a memory.
No, it isn't. So you know, I mean, it was. It definitely made an impact on me at that point. So.
Right.
But let's talk a little bit about the Potomac now. We've hosted several, over the last few decades, several national fishing tournaments there as far as the national tournament trail, bass fishing trails are concerned, and still do.
Right. Right. We actually have the FLW coming next week.
Mm-hmm.
Last weekend we had the Paralyzed Vets of America, who work with Maryland Bass Nation,
right?
Fish out of the system. So yeah, those are both national circuits. So we do definitely have a national presence, which is great for promoting the fishery. But
sure.
As you may know, it also poses its own little set of problems, and we've had on the Potomac River some concerns last year. You know, they were voiced by a well-respected guide, Ken Penrod. Ken Penrod over there?
Yep, I know Ken.
And he sent out some information about it. But it seems like what was going on is that the spring fishing was pretty good. Anglers were catching them. We've got tournament catch reports that indicate that, and Captain Penrod's reports apparently indicated that as well. But then sometime during summer and fall, fishing flopped, and I heard it from anglers when I was in the field, and then we saw it in our data sets, both from tournaments and our survey, and then so we had kind of a trifecta. Anglers were telling us something, tournament anglers were telling us something, and our data sets were saying something, our own independent surveys. So we looked hard into it, and we're still looking hard into it. The some anglers out there are thinking that LMBV and tournament pressure is, causing the problems. We've seen a decline in grasses. You know, VIMS, the Virginia Institute of Marine Science, they produce a nice aerial footage of grasses for a large part of the tidal basin in the Chesapeake Bay. And it seems, based on their information, that grasses in the tidal freshwater Potomac, where the largemouth bass make their home, those grasses have kind of started to erode a little bit over the past 3 or 4 years. I understand it could be related to Tropical Storm Lee, and the grasses may come back, but we've definitely seen that change in grass bed distribution. And then in some of the smaller creeks, the density of the grasses has increased, and some folks are thinking that it's milfoil and hydrilla that's just really starting to get thick in some of those areas. And all that can affect fishing. But whether it's grasses or not, and I seem to tend to think that that has a major role in what we're catching, what anglers catching. We are beginning a pre-scoping process with some of the suggestions that Captain Penrod put forward. We'll here in the next week or so hopefully get something out to anglers. It'll be the first time that we've done this. We're going to post on Facebook and send out a link to a survey that we've worked hard to put together, asking anglers, giving them a little bit of information on the Potomac River fishery, what our results are, what anglers have been saying, and then asking them if they would like to change the creel limit from 5 to 3, or from or have a 15-inch year-round minimum size limit, which are some of the suggestions that Captain Penrod suggested. And in doing that pre-scoping survey, we'll get a better idea of what anglers are thinking relative to their fishery before we move forward in deciding whether we need a regulation change or not.
Okay. What is the current size limit and bag limit right now?
Well, up until June 15th, we're at 15-inch minimum size,
right,
and then a 5-fish bag limit. And then after the 15th, we've got a 12-inch minimum size, and it's still a 5-fish bag. And that's just tidal waters. For non-tidal, for the ponds and some of the non-tidal streams, it's until the 15th, it's no possession. You can't, it's all catch and release in those systems.
That's till tomorrow, right?
Right. So we're, for the first time, I guess, since the late 80s, we are talking about a regulation change. And it's honestly, I think it's a good conversation to have. We certainly realize it's going to affect, if we move forward with one, it's going to affect a large number of anglers who fish tournaments primarily. It won't affect folks who are just going out catch and release fishing,
right,
just the average day, but it's going to affect, we've got in this state 300 tournaments right now, from small clubs to national national tournaments, and so it's a large fraction of the constituency or tournament fishermen. And we certainly realize that any regulation change simply just imposes more restrictions.
Right.
And it also makes it a little bit more difficult because Delaware and Virginia, with states that we share water bodies with, they do not have this.
They don't have these regulation changes.
So it's going to be a little, might be a little bit more confusing for anglers. So it's nothing that we want to just do lightly.
Right.
It'd be a long process, and I think we're about to kick off with it.
Sure. Well, now tell me again how you're doing the pre-scoping survey. I mean, you're interviewing anglers on the water. Is that right? I mean, is there an online presence that these guys are aware of that they can check in and tell you about their catches and what their thoughts were? And if there are proposed regulations, I'm going to assume there'll be public meetings and public comment periods and things like that.
You're exactly right. There will be. Right now, we are we've got I'm not sure if you're familiar with SurveyMonkey, but it's simply an online forum for hosting surveys. And I plan on getting that link out in as many ways as possible through fishing blogs or,
sure.
or anglers blog or however we can get that out so that anglers can go to their web browser, click the link and take that 10-minute survey. And then in a couple of months time, we'll post the results and we'll have a better idea of what the angling community is thinking.
Right.
Me, that's the cheapest. I mean, it's taken a lot of time to develop, but we don't need to spend gas and time in the field interviewing. And if anglers have questions, they can always call or come by or whatever. But
sure.
It seems to be the easiest, fastest, most efficient way of getting the data that we need.
Well, you've got pretty well-oiled machine there with Bass Nation, Maryland Bass. Is that what am I saying it right? Maryland Bass Nation. Yeah,
right.
With I guess Roger's still involved with that, and I know there's a number of like Ken Penrod and other of people who are very active in that field and very well respected. And they can put the word out to their minions and get you some survey results pretty quickly.
I'm hoping so. Roger, Scott Sewell is the conservation
director. Yeah, I know Scott.
There.
Sure.
Yeah, they've been real helpful. We've been able to work with them pretty regularly since I started my position here about 5 years ago. So things have been. I think they'll be a great asset in getting this link out, but it won't just be them. I've got a funnel it out to right now, with our requiring registration of most of the tournaments in the state, we have a repository of email addresses for tournament anglers, so tournament directors, so I can get that information put into their hands. But we've got to find other ways of doing it. I'm hoping other folks like Captain Penrod, Captain Steve Chaconis, who's also a guy that is
I know Steve as well. Yeah, a good guy. I like Steve. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah,
feel free. Feel free to tag me too. As put me on your email list. And you have my email, so if you want to reach out, we'll be glad to do what we can here with our listeners too.
Well, that would be great. That would be great because right now we're still, as part of this survey, we've got a question in there built in, should we impose a regulation just for the Potomac or for the Potomac of the Upper Bay or for all tidal water?
Right.
Definitely affect the Eastern Shore systems too.
All right. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with Joe Love when talking about tidal bass fishing. And some of the things that are going on in that world. Time for me to tell you right now about Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. You can stop by Clyde's and see anything and everything you need for fishing and or hunting, firearms, ammunition. They've got a great array of services, too. If you need new line wound on your reel, you can take your empty spool in there and they'll fill it with the line of your choice. You know, no charge for that. They just charge you for the line by the yard. That's what they do. If you need a specialized bait for bass or striped bass or any kind of fishing, well, just talk to them. They'll help you find your selection there, too. Gunsmithing services, scope mounting, gun repair, gun cleaning. My buddy Lawrence takes care of all that, and he does a great job. That's where I get my scopes mounted. That's where I get my guns serviced when I need it done. And I depend on Clyde Sports Shop for that. And, of course, new merchandise, too. They specialize in Browning firearms. They're a full-line Browning dealer. They've got the firearms for any kind of shotgun sports, for hunting, for waterfowl, for deer, you name it, they've got it. Even personal protection and home protection firearms, handguns, and so forth. Clyde Sports Shop, your full-line sporting goods dealer since 1957. Again, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. The phone number there is 410-242-6108. That's 410-242-6108. And the fishing hotline, 24/7, 365, is 247-3474. That's 410-247-FISH. Website, ClydeSports.com. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex at Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard, in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto. It's time for the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat motor and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center and prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour. New this year is an invasive species award for those catching blue catfish, flathead catfish, and northern snakeheads. And check out the new Maryland Youth Fishing Club and the Youth Angler's Log to learn how your youngster can win a guided fishing trip. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish or crab and certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast that qualify. So stop by your local fishing citation center, check the fishing rule book, or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Angler Award Program. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky?
Your favorite talk radio station is now on your iPhone. Go to the App Store and download the new WCBM app. Listen to your favorite host or program. Stimulating talk, breaking news, now on your iPhone.
Fishing worms, fishing worms. Everybody's wishing they had fishing worms. Find them in the garden, turn over a rock. Slip them in your sandwich, put them in your sock. That's fishing worms, fishing worms. Well, my big sister, she don't care for my fishing worms. Big ones, little ones, they scare her to death.
Now we're back with Dr. Joe Love, who handles our title bass fisher here in Maryland for the Maryland Department of Natural Resources Inland Fisheries Service. Dr. Joe, you alluded to LMBV, largemouth bass virus, earlier. And in doing a little research on that, nobody seems to know where it comes from and why it affects some fisheries and why it doesn't. Have we actually detected it here in Maryland?
No, we sure have.
Yeah.
we actually have put together an online map for anglers so they can check out where LMBV has been found. We've had a lot of questions about it for the past few years, and anglers
It's been around about 20 years now in the fishery, mostly in the south, warmer water climates and that type of thing. But I'm sorry, I interrupted you there.
No, that's cool. You're exactly right. And it's found its way up here. No one's really sure how it got here. I mean, it's a virus. It's tough to track. It's not as if we have the CDC on board.
Right, exactly. Sure.
So we're not sure. We know that it can be transported a lot of different ways in a lot of different species. Sunfishes carry it. Here recently, some researchers out of Virginia learned that snakehead can even carry it. So it's a virus that can be carried by a lot of different fish species. It can be waterborne. It can be carried in the water. It can be carried on boats. And it's very tough to prevent, you know, spread of it because of all that. It's been found. We've seen it in Potomac. We've seen it in the Chop Tank, Pocomoke, the Upper Bay. We've found individuals with carrying the virus. But what we haven't found is any evidence that the virus has led to disease in the fish.
Right.
I was chatting with some Virginia game and fish biologists the year before last, and they had an outbreak down there, and Dan Mickelson, the biologist down there, thought that what he had seen was, at least in one of his systems, there was no evidence that, you know, fish were dead. They didn't really run into a lot of dead fish.
Mm-hmm.
What they did see is a collapse in the fishery.
Mm-hmm.
They saw a lot of fish just not being caught by anglers.
Right.
And then they went in and found that, you know, a lot of their fish had LMBV, and they put the two together. They really do think that LMBV was the culprit there, but to be honest, there aren't a lot of documented cases where that's happened. There was a study out of Arkansas where biologists found that LMBV hit a population there, and they didn't really notice an impact to the fishery. They just saw that some fish died, but they, at the fishery level where folks were catching fish, they didn't really notice too much of an impact.
Hmm.
So I think it's a
hit or miss. It's a hit or, from what I'm reading, it's a hit or miss type of thing.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. It's a hit or miss. We know that it's out there. It's a factor to be concerned about. Because, you know, we certainly don't want it to result in disease. And from what I've read, disease is more likely to happen when water quality goes to, you know, crap.
Sure. I mean, warm temperatures, less oxygen, you know, that type of thing, which is pretty much the case in any fish disease, isn't it? I mean, couldn't the same thing be said for mycobacteriosis and striped bass? When you have poor water quality and high temperatures, the fish are going to be more susceptible to that disease. I mean, it seems like it's the warmer the water and the lower the water quality, the more subject the fish are to these pathogens in the water.
Oh, you're exactly right. And so handling stress is a big deal during the summer. But the other thing going on is, those viruses or bacteria, they have higher growth rates just because it's summertime.
Sure.
So they're kind of exploding in numbers, and then handling stress on the fish, wiping away its mucus when you're, you know, holding it. All of those things kind of interact, and they can cause some problems. We've pulled fish out of the upper Wacomico. We've pulled fish out of, the Potomac that don't look so good, out of the Patuxent. they've got sores on them.
Yeah.
We get pictures from folks out of Middle River showing me fish that just, you know, don't look so good.
They got
lesions or whatever. And that's largely what, you know, it's handling stress. It's
right.
Bugs in the water. And, you know, I pulled a fish out of Northeast River 2 years ago, and it was, I literally reached down into the water and pulled it out because it was just so gone.
Yeah.
And it, you know, had a lot, we had it tested, had a lot of infections, and it's very tough to pinpoint causes, but it was during summer.
Sure.
And it was, you know.
Which, well, you know, angling pressure as well, Joe. I mean, you talked about 300 tournaments. You know, these fish are caught. They're touched. They're put in live wells where they bang around against the sides of the boat, each other. They're, you know, brought in high speed back to the docks. They're, you know, they're handled again. Then they're handled when they were put back in the water. I mean, it's, you know, it's, and I'm not blaming the tournament anglers, but let's be, you know, honest about it. If I go out there and I'm not fishing the tournament, I catch a fish, I grab it by the lower lip, I unhook it and take a picture, flop it back in the water. But if I'm in a tournament, there's a whole bunch of other interaction with that fish. And, you know, you're putting it in a contained space, you're putting it in a live well, which may or may not have temperature control. Then you put it in a bag, you bring it to the scale, it's left outside in, on the, you know, on the scale, it goes back in the bag, it goes back in the, you know, it's just a whole big process. I mean, and look, you can't kick about the popularity of bass fishing or these tournaments, but somewhere along the line, you know, these guys, I don't know if you've seen this, what is it, Major League Fishing. They catch the fish, they bring it in the boat, they weigh it, and they release it immediately. And everything's right. recorded. You know, I think that's the way to run a bass tournament.
Well, they got, I'll tell you, I think you're exactly right on all of your points, too. You know, we've worked hard, and tournaments have worked hard.
Sure.
DCFS is a notable one who's worked hard at trying to improve live wells and improve release boat capacity and improve the weigh-in procedure so that
right.
it's less harmful on the fish. And I'll tell you what, since the 60s and 70s, there have been some remarkable improvements in all of that.
No question.
So, and even here recently, within the past 5 years, I've seen and I've worked with tournament directors who have improved the capacity to change things up. And I know that, and it has led to greater survivorship of the fish, you know, I know with the tournament you're mentioning, you know, like paper tournaments or I've seen
right.
there's a kayak tournament going out this fall where they will bring fish into the boat, take a picture, and then release it, and that picture's sent immediately to the tournament director through the internet.
Yeah.
And that's how the tournament's conducted. But,
wow.
You know, I think, you know, it's...
Well, let's put it this way.
Yeah.
Most recreational anglers understand catch and release, I think, by now. I mean, how long have we been doing this? 40 years almost? And
right.
As far as catch and release. You know, and some people still want to eat those fish. Well, that's fine. They're allowed to do that. They can take those fish home and eat them if they want to. And they shouldn't be castigated by their fellow fishermen, because there is a creel limit and a size limit, and if you want to keep that fish, you're welcome to keep it. So, you know, but the bass guys understand the value of catch and release. They understand that they need to sustain their sport by sustaining the population of fish, and you know who better than the people who are competing, you know, in that world, than to come up with the advancements to sustain their fish. Absolutely. You know, like you just said, it's not like the old days, you know, like I just tried to indicate as far as the handling of the fish. But I think the innovations that we have through technology now are certainly, hey, look, everybody likes to be a hero at weigh-in, you know. You hold up, your biggest fish, you know, in front of the crowd, and everybody oohs and ahs, and you put them back in the bag, and they go back in the river, whatever. That's a lot different impact than holding up a screen on an iPad and saying, "Hey, look, you know, I'm number one."
You're right.
You know, I mean, there's an ego that's attached to this deal, so.
Well, and people want to see those fish.
Well, sure they do.
Times. They don't want to just see the pictures. And I'll say, you know, there's a there's a diversity of thought on the issue. You know, I've talked to tournament anglers who refuse to eat fish, refuse to largemouth. And I've eaten largemouth.
They ain't that good.
I'm a good old Southern boy. I do that. But you know, my job, in part, is to make sure that there's a diversity of opportunity for anglers.
Right.
If they want to fish a tournament and take a picture and send it in because that's what their ethics wanted, you know, tell them to do, or because they just want to do it, then that's great. If they want to eat the fish, that's great. You know, as long as the resource is sustainable, then everyone should be able to participate in the fishery in the way that they like. And, you know, in some cases, when that when some fraction within that fishery is being a little bit too hard-handed with it, then we impose regulations.
Right.
And with BASF, it's been great, and other groups, they've adjusted their own systems so
right.
that they can participate in the fishery without having some negative impact on sustainability. And as long as we can continue to work with everyone to minimize that negative impact, then I'm okay with people fishing tournaments and bringing them in or eating the bass.
Right. All right, you know? Joe, we got to take another break. We got a couple more points here to cover and a short time to do that, but let me take this break and we'll come right back to you as soon as we can.
I'd like to
tell the folks about Chesapeake Outdoors. Chesapeake Outdoors is right across the Bay Bridge, not far. You just go to exit 39B, that's Dominion Road, right off Route 50. You'll see the store, and you'll see the big blue and white tent right before you make that exit. And you can check them out right there. The Kent Island's largest selection of fishing and crabbing supplies. They have bass fishing tackle. They have Chesapeake Bay trolling rods and reels. They have everything you need for fishing the tidal rivers, for panfish. You name it, they've got it. And they've got all the bait, too. Live bait, frozen bait for fishing and crabbing, all the crab pots, all the crab traps, trot lines, you name it. They even have the white boots. If you want to say you're a crabber, you can wear white boots and go get them. The first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers is Chesapeake Outdoors. Exit 39B, Dominion Road, right off Route 50. If you're getting ready for archery season, they've got everything you need. All the accessories, all the arrows, they'll custom cut them for you. They'll tune your bow. They'll set it up for you. Names like Parker and Matthews and Mission Crossbows, Barnett Crossbows, Parker Crossbows, all of that is available at Chesapeake Outdoors, including firearms and ammunition and great apparel and footwear. So, stop by. You can also call them if you want, 410-604-2500, 410-604-2500. That's Chesapeake Outdoors. And don't forget the big blue and white tent right there on the parking lot. Beachwear, summerwear from great brands and great, great prices. I mean, inexpensive stuff. You can outfit the whole family for very, very little money. If you're looking to save a buck, stop by when you're on your way to the beach or coming back from the beach right there. Check out the big blue and white tent. They've got shorts and beachwear for the whole family. Kids, girls, boys, soccer, lacrosse stuff, you name it. They've got it right there at the big tent sale on the parking lot of Chesapeake Outdoors. So, there you go. Chesapeake Outdoors, 410-604-2500.
Cold front along the I-95 corridor continues to make its way out into the Atlantic this morning, and high pressure to the north and west will build in, should deliver nice weather for us here over the next few days. Right now, Tuesday looks to be the next chance that we could see a pop-up shower or storm make a return. But today, sunshine, 76. Fair skies tonight, 58. Few clouds for tomorrow, 82. Monday, a mix of clouds and sunshine. We'll see those temperatures climb into the low 90s. Richard Wedding at the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
I was just waiting for the music to stop, and it never did. It just kept continuing on and on and on. Oh, man, you're killing me. Hey, folks, it's time for the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. By the way, today is a free fishing day. If you want to take the kids out and you just want to experience some fishing yourself and see what it's all about, Go out today. You don't have to buy a license. Today and the 4th of July. Diamond Jim, he's a tagged rockfish worth $10,000 or more, and he's swimming in the Chesapeake Bay just waiting to take your bait. Diamond Jim has lots of imposters out there, too, but even they are worth $500. So you catch a rockfish with a bright green tag, you call that number on the tag. You might just have captured a $10,000 prize. And if you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish or crab and certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast to qualify for the Angler's Award. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, and prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour. Stop by your local fishing citation center, check out the fishing rule book, or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2013 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Citation Fish Program. That website again, dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky?
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Marcy Norton. As a growing number of Americans grapple with fertility and sometimes health issues, more are freezing their eggs and sperm in hopes of conceiving a child. But there's a financial wrinkle few are considering, and that is whether any resulting child will have a claim on the family estate. Americans who die and leave behind genetic material may be exposing their families to future inheritance claims. It's still relatively unexplored territory. A Milwaukee estate and tax lawyer who's been investigating says it's a good idea for those with frozen gametes to consider making provisions in their estate plans for children who don't even exist yet. Make it clear in writing what should happen to your genetic material after your death, and spell out whether posthumously conceived kids should get any of your money. Very few related laws are on the books. In New York, courts have ruled that posthumously conceived children could be considered descendants and would be eligible to collect income from a family trust. This is the Wall Street Journal Report.
What if I told you you could reverse diabetes and stop taking your diabetes medication? If you or someone you care about has diabetes or prediabetes, there's a special free video you need to watch. You may have heard about this. It's all over the internet. Diabetic11.com. People who have followed this plan at Diabetic11.com reportedly have not only normalized their blood sugar, but have stopped taking their diabetes meds completely with their doctor's approval. Diabetic11.com is a natural, drug-free approach to reversing diabetes with remarkable results in as little as 4 weeks. Diabetic11.com will save you from being a slave to doctor-prescribed drugs. It's easy. Diabetic11.com gives you three specific actions to get your blood sugar under control. And the best part is the main ingredient and solution is a common spice found in most kitchens. Watch the free video for yourself at Diabetic11.com. Watch for free at Diabetic11.com. Get back the quality of your life and free yourself from diabetes meds at Diabetic11.com.
For great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, hey, it's Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end, hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island, go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. Custom-tied bucktails and trolling lures for rockfish, and all you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the Mid-Bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573, 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena.
Talk Radio 680 WCPM.
Oh, Mississippi, she's calling my name. Catfish are jumping, that paddle wheel bumping. Black water keep rolling on fast, just the same.
Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me?
Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me?
Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me?
Yeah, keep on shining your light.
Who's that, the Doobie Brothers? All right, I like that song. All right, Joe.
Yes, sir.
We got a caller on the line.
You all right?
Yeah, hold on. He's got a question for you. Hey, Dale, how are you, buddy?
How are you, Joe? How are you doing?
Hey, Dale, I'm doing all right, man.
That old fart still in the corner by your desk? He's still there?
Yeah. How did you know about that?
Yeah, he's a good guy. Great guy.
All right.
Joe, my question...
Inside baseball, folks.
Joe, my question is regarding predation on largemouth bass. Have you all, I'm sure you have, but to what extent, looked at predation from northern snakeheads and to a lesser extent, blue catfish on largemouth bass?
Well, that's a good question.
Do you have a good answer?
Yeah. Well, we did do some research on northern snakehead eaten largemouth, and there have been a number of studies on what snakeheads are actually eating in the Potomac. And largemouth, while snakeheads will eat them, and I've talked to anglers who have seen that happening, it's not that frequent. It's not that often.
Mm, good.
And with blue cats, there's been some diet work, but with blue cats, they're doing more of it. But there haven't been that many largemouth turning up in the stomachs of blue cats yet. But they haven't done too much work on that area, so who knows what's around the corner?
Yeah,
I would think with the blue catfish, their habitat preference is a little bit different for the most part than largemouth bass. So I wouldn't think you would have as a big a problem with them as the northern snakehead.
Dale, I think you're exactly right, and you know that's in part one of the reasons why we're doing so much work with snakehead and trying to encourage anglers to harvest them. You know, they're over in the Wicomico now, and in the Nanticoke, and we're trying to get anglers to take them home with them. Whether, you know, they're good taste in fish, but we definitely are encouraging folks not to throw them back. I mean, they may eat young bass or perhaps age one or age two bass, but they're also competing for food with bass and nesting habitat because they kind of nest in similar areas. So, you know, there are some other reasons why we want them to get those dank fish out of the water when they come across them. And, I think it's been working. We've been getting the message out, and folks have been taking them home a lot more frequently now than they did like 4 or 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I think some of that's getting out. But if you happen to catch one, bring it home and eat it. And,
they're superb eating, Joe. Superb.
Oh, yeah.
They really are good.
All right, you guys are making me hungry.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, Alan, I'll talk to you later.
All right, thanks, Dale. I appreciate that. Yes, sir. All right. Hey, Joe, let me ask you. We've got a number of points here to cover, some stuff that you sent me, of course, but let's talk primarily about some of the online stuff that's going on since we're, you know, quickly running out of time here.
Yeah, I'd love to. The first thing I'd like to really mention is this new launch of an angler access map. You know, DNR is trying to get folks on the water to go fishing, and we want to get some bass clubs started. We've got the youth fishing chapter going. Maryland Bass Nation has been working hard at getting some bass clubs started across the state. But we want to give these folks some opportunities and some ideas on where to go fishing and what they're likely to catch when they go there. You know, a lot of our institutional knowledge is being retired out of the system, out of DNR, and so it's great to have an online resource
that
any angler can access.
Yep.
And find out, oh, where's this fishing spot, or what's this fishing spot, or what's close to me, and what can I catch there? So my boss, Don Cosman, has been working hard with some other players within the department, the regional managers. I've helped out a little bit. And finally, this angler access map is available online. And all an angler has to do is go to the website, and it's a Google map. They can find out where they'd like to go. So you want to go fishing off the Nanticoke somewhere, see where all these angler access spots are, where anglers can access the fishery, and the angler simply has to click or needs to click on a site, and it gives them all the amenities, like whether there's park in there, whether what fish they're likely to catch there, and even if the angler doesn't know where they want to go, say they just want to go out and get yellow perch, they can run a search for yellow perch and find all the spots in the state where they can access the yellow perch fishery. And they can figure out just on that list of amenities whether it's going to cost them money to park there, whether there are bathrooms. So I'm pretty excited about it, and I'm hoping that more anglers such as myself, and I'm not that great of an angler, would go to this map and find some new spots and perhaps get lucky.
I just went on the website. I clicked on the fishing tab at the top of the page. I went to the first category on the left hand side called public fishing access. Clicked on it and there it is. It popped right up.
Now, awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
It's right there. Now the map is extremely sensitive. You gotta be careful when you're clicking around the map. But all the public areas are listed on there. There's a little blue dot there. There's a tidal, non-tidal divide. There's trout management areas. There's stocked areas. And it says right there it's for guidance purposes only. But, boy, what a tremendous resource you've got online. No kidding.
Oh, yeah. A lot of good information. We get a lot of folks who call the regional offices, call up at Annapolis, asking, well, where do I go, or, you know, what's the tide line, what license do I need?
Yeah.
And how easy it is just to point into this website.
Absolutely.
And say, you know what?
Yep.
This is your guide for the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that actually just got launched this past week, so we're hoping to get the word out.
Well, we need to work with somebody real quick on this to get this information in the Maryland Loves Crabs magazine. So I'll reach out to somebody who can give me a little background information, but we'll definitely put the link in there in that. And you know, I mean, it's not just fishing, but crabbing as well. So that'll be helpful to the crabbers.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, cool.
That's great.
All right. Yeah, we'll do that.
And there are some other resources, primarily for black bass anglers, if they're interested in them.
Yep.
There's an online resource now that lists both charter boat captains and black bass guides. So if you're interested in I've been interested in chartering for this fall, so I've actually used this map a lot.
Sure.
If you're interested in chartering either a black bass fishing trip, or you know, go out for stripers, you can go to this map and search out an area so quickly and find out who's in the nearby area, and then what the business name is, so you can get some more information from them.
Also on the fisheries website.
Right.
Yep.
Also on. Yeah. And it's. I tell you what. That kind of stuff, just all in one area, makes my time a lot better used on the internet rather than running Google search after Google search.
Sure. So, all right. Look, Joe, we got one more break. I'm sorry to cut you off there. We'll come back. We'll get that break in, and then we'll come back and wrap it up real quick if we can. Joe.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt.
Oh,
but hey, we got to take care of our sponsors. So I'd like to remind the folks one more time about Chesapeake Outdoors, located at exit 39B. That's Dominion Road. And that's right across the Bay Bridge off Route 50 on Kent Island. Their phone number, 410-604-2500. I'd also like to tell the folks about Clyde Sports Shop again and remind folks that they have anything you need for hunting and fishing at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. That's 242-6108, 410-242-6108, Fishing Hotline 247-FISH, 247-3474. And we'll be right back after these little breaks. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and can last longer. Baylinex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did, with a Linex spray-on bed liner. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Hey, we're back. We got just a couple minutes remaining here with Dr. Joe Love, who is in charge of every largemouth bass in Maryland.
I don't know about that.
Well, pretty much.
Just the big ones.
Yeah, oh, just the big ones. I got you. Good, good, good. All right. So there's a lot going on in your world. I mean, we've covered a few of those points, not all of them. I know you've got a bunch of surveys going on. I think the valuable information was the that interactive website for public sites and that type of thing. But there's also a reformatted Tidal Bass website, too, on the fisheries page, right?
Right. And just to wrap up, if folks want to check out some of the work we're doing, I mean, this year we're looking at nutrition of bass on the Potomac. We're doing more LMBV work. So all of that information, our snakehead work, it's all posted online on the Tidal Bass website. They simply need to search out DNR Tidal Bass,
Tidal Bass.
They can get to it.
Joe, thanks for joining us today. You'll have to come back again.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed our time.
Thank you very much. And have a happy Father's Day. Happy Flag Day today. Everybody put your flags out. And, folks, we'll be back next week with more of the Outdoorsman Radio Show. Visit our sponsors. Tell them you heard about